Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Let's Talk About Jesus, our weekly Bible study right here on our website. Thank you once again for gathering with us around the Word of God today. I want to hear through the Scripture, by the Holy Spirit, what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is saying unto the church today. If you are a Christian today, you're part of what is called the Ecclesia, which is the word for church in the New Covenant in the Greek. And it means called out ones. We have been called out of the kingdom of darkness. In fact, we've been translated out if we've answered the call, and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So today I'm talking to the church. I want to hear what the Spirit says to the church. I want to speak according to what what is appropriate to a particular holiday or holy day. It's fine. I intend to bring a Father's Day message for Father's Day, as much as God lets me. I intended to bring a Christmas message last Christmas, as we were just close to Christmas Day. Holy Spirit had something entirely different. If there's someone in the audience that is in jeopardy, in danger of being lost, we can't pursue what we have decided if we're going to be led of the Spirit. And frankly, if we're not going to be led of the Spirit, we cannot minister. We'll never minister what the Spirit has to say. We have to be led of the Spirit, and we have to defer to Him and acquiesce to Him. And I ask Him to have His way. I prepared messages that I was so excited to preach because it thrilled me just studying the message. Amen. But when I got into the pulpit to begin the message, sometimes even announcing the subject, the Holy Spirit would move in another direction. And I have decided in my ministry, in my case, that I want to hear what the Spirit has to say. I don't want to hear what is beautifully, perfectly, biblically even, scripturally prepared, but not appropriate to the circumstance that is in the immediate situation. God knows the hearts of the people who are going to hear the word. And the Holy Spirit is going to zero in on those needs, not just the felt needs of a general sense. This is specific to people that God is going to address. We're all going to be blessed by it, but it's what the Lord is saying. I want to hear from Him today. Even as I minister the Word, I want to hear from Him. How about you? We're glad you're here. We pray that this teaching that we are in will be a blessing to you. As we continue the message we began on our Bible study in the previous week, the God of miracles. The God of miracles. We defined a miracle in the simplest terms, a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. Supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. And based on that truth about a miracle, by the way, if the days of miracles are over, don't pray over the food. God's not going to intervene and bless it to your body. Don't bother praying for a loved one. God's not allowed. Miracles are over. The apostles, the only ones could work those miracles that God would work in conjunction with to produce those miracles. If the days of miracles are over, all prayer is useless. Because for God to answer any prayer for any person, for anything, He would have to intervene in the normal course of human affairs. Of course, the days of miracles are not over. I'm not just talking about commanding miracles. I'm talking about praying and believing that God is going to hear an answer. This involves the miracle working power of God. That's exactly what the Bible said that we would receive when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go in Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. That word power is dunamis, and it means miracle working ability. Amen. It doesn't mean that we're all apostles like the 12 that were called, that the church is founded on and built upon as they went forth. But we are certainly categorized like the other 70 that Jesus sent out. And they came back and said, when we use your name and authority, we are able to cast out devils, and they marveled and celebrated that devils were subject to them through the name of Jesus, because the power of God was manifest to overrule and the power of the enemy. Jesus actually talked about that delegated power when he said, "Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy." So this is a power gift, dunamis, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And because it is a power gift, the enemy fears it greatly. He's not upset by a dead church service. He doesn't fear what's going to develop out of the church of the Frigidaire, where the frozen chosen are going to meet on Sunday morning. The devil's not intimidated by that. What intimidates him is when the gospel comes in the power, in the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, "My preaching, my teaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Hallelujah. The power of God to save. The greatest miracle of all. There can't be salvation without a miracle, because we're born again. We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are translated by the Holy Spirit out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't get into the true church just by water baptism, as important as that is. Actually, water baptism is representation of a spiritual baptism that has occurred when you come to Christ as your Savior. And if you haven't been baptized by the Spirit into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, made one with Him through that baptism, water baptism, you go down into the water, a dry sinner, and you come up out of the water, a wet sinner. But if you're baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, amen. "For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away." Buried with Him, raised with Him to walk in the newness of life. That involves the dunamis. That involves the miracle working power of God. And today I want to talk about this miracle working power, this God who confirms His word with signs following. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll tread on serpents. They will speak with new tongues." Amen. "Listen, they will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This is not just for the 12 apostles. According to James 5, verse 14, it said that there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. The 12 apostles were not elders in all the churches, but they're mature ones in every church. And that's what elder means, mature in the Lord, not just gray-haired guys and gals. These are people that have the Holy Spirit and are operating in the name of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let them lay hands on them and anoint them with oil. In the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. That's how the sick are healed in the new covenant. In the church, there should be those that are mature enough in the Lord, that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that are able to pray for you and I and one another, and believe that a miracle is going to occur. There's a disparity today between prayers prayed and prayers answered. There's something missing. There's something missing. Many people are discouraged in even praying because they're not seeing the manifest power of God in the answer. Praise God, friend of mine. I don't see to believe. This is not the pattern. It's believe to see. These signs shall follow them that believe. And it's all in His name today. And let's look at the impact on the greatest miracle of all. And I will give that to anyone who argues that absolutely salvation is the most important miracle that has ever or will ever occur. There's none to compare with it because it has to do with where the eternal soul spends eternity. According to Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 32, let's look at the effect of the miracle power of God confirming the Word, the effect that it has on people who need to come to know Christ as their Savior, and see if we don't need more than the programs we have and the sermons we may prepare. See if we don't need the confirming, manifest power of God to work with us in conjunction as we preach the Word. If we want to see the mighty work of God, the harvest of souls brought into the kingdom before Jesus comes, before the ark door is closed, while it is day, we are told to work, for the night cometh when no man shall work. I feel a sense of urgency to preach the gospel, to declare the truth of God. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, many souls will be ushered into the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to plunder hell and populate heaven today. So, Christian, let's work together as with God, with the Holy Spirit today. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Let's read it together. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there were found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. He was bedfast, you see, 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and turned to the Lord. Amen. This one miracle caused many to come to Christ as their Savior. Listen as we continue. In verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would come, and not delay, come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed. Many, I'm underscoring that once again, many believed in the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, when God confirmed His word, many believed in the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, when they saw the supernatural miracle of tongues, they heard it in their own language. This is a miracle. They saw the power of God in operation. The manifest power of God was not just in what they heard, but in what they sensed on that day. Something was happening, and it was supernatural. To the point that Peter had to explain it in some very plain terms. He said, these men are not drunk as ye suppose. By the way, they were all filled, and there was 120 of them, not just the 12 apostles. They were all filled with the dunamis of God in that upper room. So let's go down this litany, this evangelism that occurred because God showed up and God showed out. He manifest His presence and His power in Acts 2, 1 through 4. I'm not going to read it. You can read it. You can mark it. Acts 2, 1 through 4, we see the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, resulting in 3,000 people being saved and baptized in water. In Acts 3, 2 through 10, we see the paralytic healed near the temple. So astounded were the onlookers that another 2,000 turned to the Lord. In Acts 5, 12 through 14, we see the apostles doing many signs and wonders with the results that multitudes were added to the Lord. In Acts 8, 5 through 8, Philip preached in Samaria, and his ministry was supernaturally confirmed with miracles and exorcisms, literally devils being cast out and healings. The response to this heaven-sent outpouring was that many gave heed to Philip's message. What was his message? The Bible said he went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Hallelujah. And there was great joy in the city and numerous conversions. In Acts 9, 32 through 35, God used Peter to heal the paralytic Aeneas, with the result all in Lydda and Saron turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. In Acts 9, 40 through 42, Peter was empowered by God to raise the dead woman Dorcas, as we read. The response to this supernatural event, as in the previous illustrations, many in Joppa believed in the Lord. So it goes on and on and on and on and on. I'm going to read from another translation. I've already quoted it to you from the King James, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. Paul said, my message, my preaching, were not with the wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Hallelujah. Listen, friend of mine. The devil does not fear a powerless gospel or an impotent God. He fears the God that changes not, the Lord God of Israel. He fears the Christ that is risen, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The days of miracles are not over, nor are they limited to the 12 apostles. The days of miracles will never be over as long as God is still God and Jesus Christ is the same. Amen. The church has changed. God has not. The church has changed in many sectors. Jesus has not. I agree with the words of Martin Lloyd-Jones, preached in 1965. Listen to what he said. It is perfectly clear that in the New Testament times, the gospel was authenticated in this way by signs, wonders, and miracles of various characters and descriptions. Was it only meant to be true of the early church, he says? The scriptures never anywhere say that these things were only temporary. Never. There is no such statement anywhere. Hallelujah. I like Lou Pinto's testimony. 7 years ago, he says, I was given 2 years to live with hepatitis C and a cancerous liver disease. I was on interferon, an experimental leukemia drug, and chemotherapy. This wannabe gangster and this tough guy from Brooklyn was helpless. I finally asked Jesus to forgive my sins and to heal me. I wept, and I felt a surge of heat and vibration go through me. My sins flashed before my eyes, and I felt God's forgiveness. After more blood work and a biopsy, I came home to a full-blown party complete with balloons and a sign that read, Praise God, you are healed. My cousin, former personal physician to Presidents Nixon and Ford, said it was a miracle. There is no drug or amount of money that can do what Jesus can do for you. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if you have on your shouting shoes. Do you own a pair? Has God ever moved in such a way and such a mighty answer to prayer that it makes you want to just dance and shout and lift your hands and voice, praise and glorify Him? Listen, the scripture declares in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 14, it said that Paul went down to Lystra and preached the gospel there. And there sat a man that never had walked, lame, never had walked, who steadfastly beholding him perceived that he had faith to be healed, and said unto him with a loud voice, Jesus makes thee whole. And he arose and walked, and all who saw it turned to the Lord. Amen. Friend, when people turn to the Lord like that, the souls that we do put the premium on and should put the premium on, but we need this power to help us to win those souls. As important as the gospel is to be preached to the world and souls are to escape the damnation of hell and the wrath to come. Listen, as vital as that is, Jesus told the disciples, go and tarry, not just the 12, but all his followers that were gathered around him at that time, go into Jerusalem and tarry. You wait before you go. You got to go, and it's urgent that you go. Redeem the time and go. Listen, but don't go in the power of your own ingenuity, your own intelligentsia, your own education. Go in the power of the Holy Ghost. Wait till you be endued with power from on high. And then you will be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. And 120 in the upper room were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This pushback on the miracle power of God, the manifestation of the Spirit of God, this pushback that is coming today, and it's coming through some of our brothers and sisters who do not understand or appreciate the need for the Holy Spirit. There have been abuses. I'll be the first to admit it. But there's abuses. Look at the people who were not what we thought that they were in Christian leadership, in the nominal church world, men and women who absolutely were wolves in sheep's clothing. You don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, and you don't do it because there have been false miracles and people who claim to be miracle workers who were just sham. It was a sham, and they were just fooling people. Yes, there are abuses, and yes, there have been all kinds of immature representations of the gifts of the Spirit, and it has brought a reproach. And until many people don't want to have any move of the Spirit anymore. And friend of mine, I would have been dead before I was 9 years old had there not been a church where God's power was manifest. Prayer was offered in the name of Jesus, and God healed me of leukemia. Friend of mine, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here at 76 years old. I know I don't look that old. Tongue in cheek. LOL. You can't see me, so you don't know. But here's what I'm telling you today. I would not be here. I would have been dead and buried. Well, God had a plan for you. This was a special. No, God has a plan called the salvation plan. When we are saved, God becomes our Father. We can call upon Him in the name of Jesus Christ and expect God to help us, to deliver us. Hallelujah. Amen. I like what King David said in the old covenant when he said, I had fainted. I had been crushed by life's troubles and tribulations unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Not just when we get home. When we get home, we're home. There'll be no sick. There'll be no death. There'll be no dying. But right here in this old faulty body, this old fallen world, we need God's intervention in so many areas of our life. And we need, above all, to acknowledge the miracle of the new birth. It's not just joining a church, reciting a creed. It is not just being baptized in water. All of those things are important and have their place, but there's nothing that could nor should replace the manifest presence of God. Where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, He says, there am I in the midst of them. Well, what's He there for? He goes on to say, where two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if two of you on earth agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. Praise God. Jesus, our great high priest, in the midst of us, interceding for us, that God the Father would acknowledge us as His children. And here's what the Bible, I'm a dad, and we're coming up on Father's Day, and I'm a daddy, and here's what the Scriptures tell me. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, if we are intrinsically fallen, part of the fall, and we yet people who are even not saved and don't know Jesus, and the love of God is not in them. The basic human love is in them. The phileo love, not the agape yet, but the phileo love is so powerful. If you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? And another says, give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him. Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, we need the Holy Spirit. We're too good. We're so educated, we lean too much on just our education. We're so smart. We come up with such good programs to stimulate people to give and to come. Ah, but when the Holy Spirit is manifest, when He moves in power, people are drawn. And there have been people that have misrepresented Jesus. But before people who in earnest came because they believed God is in this, God is moving, because some supernatural things were occurring. We still try the spirits. We still seek the background on the person that is supposedly being used of God. We want to know that that person is a true follower of Jesus. We've been hoodwinked before. We've been hornswoggled, as we put it before. We've been deceived before. For there are many false prophets, many deceivers going out into the world, and sadly they'll deceive many. But just because of all the false ones doesn't mean there's not a genuine. Don't throw out the baby with the bath water. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and He is with us. Spiritually, when we come together, Christ is manifest to us in and through the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And if you have a God encounter, it's different than just going to church on Sunday morning. Something happens, and you'll never forget it. We're not just talking about seeking a liver shiver on Sunday morning. We're talking about a God encounter that makes you want to be right with Him, that makes you want to be cleansed by the washing of water, by the Word, that makes you want to draw closer, and that stimulates you to turn loose your faith in His Word and in His person and in His power to help you and deliver you and to reach others as you intercede for them. Well, I've preached a whole message, teaching a message today. Stuart Hamlin wrote a great song titled, "It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." And dear friend, I want to add to that today, it's no secret what God will do if we will trust Him, if we will believe Him, if we will look to Him for the power that He has and promises to release to usward who believe. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, no less than the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead, coming to abide and to live in us and with us. Today, we need the truth of the gospel preached as it is written in Scripture without apology, and we need the confirmation by the manifestation of the power of God. We're desperate to see souls swept into the kingdom. And I pray that if you are not saved today, you've never encountered the living God, you were not drawn to Christ by the Holy Spirit, you just made a mental decision to come down and do whatever you did. But you can't say that you were drawn by the Spirit, that you've had a God encounter. I pray you will come to Christ today if God is calling you. God is drawing you. Jesus said, no man comes to me except my Father draw them. And I believe by the Holy Spirit, God is drawing someone in this audience right here and right now. As I declare unto you the living God, I'm also declaring to you the loving God gave His Son. Jesus gave His life to save you. So come to Christ today. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Savior that He might save you. Seal you with the Holy Spirit and keep you safe from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name.